You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
February is upon us. Spring training's around the corner. It's time to talk some Angels baseball. I'm Dave Raymond with Alvin Gonzalez. Alvin, how you doing, man? February's here. You set for spring training?
I'm ready, Dave. We're almost there. Less than 2 weeks away now, and offseason is flown by as usual.
Yes, yeah. You know, it's amazing how that always seems to happen. Meanwhile, the Angels still, you know, obviously every team's going to have some questions going into spring training. One of them for the Angels will be who's going to be the, you know, in that setup role this year. Maybe, you know, you figure Street closing things off, Smith in there as well. But how do you see that back in the bullpen lining up?
You know, Dave, it's going to be really interesting. I think, you know, the Angels go into spring training with a lot of questions, and I think one of their questions is going to be in the bullpen because, you know, one good thing about the way that it's set up for them in their bullpen is that they do have an established closer in Houston Street, and they have an established setup man in Joe Smith. A lot of teams can't say that they have both of those innings taken care of. The question with the Angels, I think, is going to be who steps into that seventh inning role. And I know it's not really a glamorous role at all, but if you look throughout baseball these last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years maybe, so the best bullpens all had three trusted relievers that they could go to. They had a seventh inning guy, an eighth inning guy, and then the closer. And the Angels bullpen, when it was at its best recently, was down the stretch in that 2014 season when they got Houston Street at the trade deadline, and then Kevin Jepson was able to slide into that seventh inning role. They became a legit force down the stretch, closing out games, holding leads. And now for the Angels going into the year, it's going to be really interesting to see if anybody really emerges in that role. I'm sure that Mike Socha is going to go into the year kind of mixing and matching. Maybe he'll use left-on-left matchups and stuff like that. But I think ideally somebody would really step up and he'd just settle on one guy. And, you know, who that guy is, though, remains to be seen. They got Al Albuquerque from the Tigers. He throws really hard, but he also walks a lot of guys, and he's coming off a down year. Mike Morin seems to be a guy that a lot of people in the organization feel could really step into that role because he showed so much as a rookie in 2014. And then in 2015, he just wasn't right. Some people believe that maybe he had some pain in his arm early in the year. He went on the DL for a while with an oblique injury. But he's a guy who's got great command of a changeup, mixes it up with a fastball, and, you know, he's kind of got the makeup to pitch late in game. So they're hoping that he could kind of recapture what he had a couple years ago because he's only 24 years old. And then, you know, beyond that, you know, they still got a bunch of guys that they like to see some more out of. Fernando Salas is a veteran, Corey Rasmus, Jose Alvarez, and Cam Bedrosian, their young reliever who they're still waiting to see if he can kind of harness the stuff that he has. But, you know, there's a lot of candidates there, and they need to settle on one because, Dave, as you remember, they traded Trevor Gott to the Nationals to get Yunel Escobar. Trevor Gott was the guy who became that seventh-inning reliever last year, and now he's gone.
Yeah, and, you know, when you talk about auditioning that many guys for a spot, it's tough in spring training, right, finding the innings to give these guys that look, at least those innings where, you know, you want to see them, you know, as close to that role as you can or in some way replicating some of what they're going to have to do. I just think spring training is such a tough time to really evaluate guys. And yet, you know, that's clearly what Socha and company are going to have to do.
Yeah, you make a great point, Dave, because especially for the bullpen, because, you know, when a closer comes in the ninth inning, well, in spring training, the ninth inning needs, you're facing off against a bunch of guys who are not going to make the team, who are going to go to minor league camp in a week or two and who are still prospects, who are still young. And, you know, obviously the intensity is nowhere near what it is during the regular season. So, I mean, you're right. It's hard to see what guys will do when the lights come on, especially for the Angels, I think, for young guys. Guys who are still developing like Mike Morin and Corey Rasmus and Cam Bedrosian.
Yep, but good to have that depth, though. Good to have some guys to choose from, and hopefully they'll be able to get at least a portion of that answer at spring training, which is, as we mentioned, right around the corner. Of course, you don't need a bullpen if you've got a guy, let's say, throwing a no-hitter, perfect game, something like that. Let me throw some sort of off-the-wall questions at you, Alden, as we entertain ways to entertain ourselves this time of year. So who on that staff is going to be a no-hit, perfect game kind of guy this year?
Well, I'll tell you this much, Dave. Every time I'm not covering a game and Garrett Richards is starting, I'm nervous, especially if it's a home game. Because if it's a no-hitter and it's kind of in the sixth or seventh inning, I'm kind of expected to go to the ballpark to help out because a no-hitter is still a really big deal. Every time Garrett Richards is on the mound, I don't feel like I can go to the beach. How about that, Dave? Garrett Richards is a no-hitter in waiting. Because for obvious reasons, he throws 98 mile an hour fastball. He's got a wipeout slider, and he's got a ridiculous curveball. And I mean, he could just cut through a lineup so easily when his stuff is right. Everybody on the Angels expects Garrett Richards to throw a no-hitter someday. He's come close a couple of times. He's got the stuff to do it. He's the guy that I would pick without a doubt.
That's just the greatest way of thinking about that question, right?
This is, you know, my perspective is a little bit different. That's the way I see it.
yeah. All right, who's maybe one of the first guys off the bench this year who you could see taking over an everyday starting job?
Well, it depends, Dave, on whether or not they get that everyday left fielder. I still feel like they try to. I still feel like they're going to eventually get. I still feel like if everybody stays healthy, they're eventually at some point, whether it's before opening day or before the trade deadline, they're going to use one of their starting pitchers to get an everyday bat in left field. So if that happens, Daniel Nava would obviously be the guy who you could see getting a lot of playing time, especially against righties. He could he would maybe spell C.J. Cron against some tough righties sometimes, because he's a switch hitter who's hit righties really well his entire career. But right now, he's slated to kind of get everyday playing time in left field. Other than Daniel Nava, I think Cliff Pennington is a guy that could get a decent amount of playing time. He's a utility infielder that they signed to a two-year deal pretty early in the offseason. And, you know, I think he comes in as a guy who's going to play late in games. If Giovatella remains the starting second baseman, I expect Cliff Pennington to play second base when they're leading by two or three runs late in the game, or maybe one run. And, you know, if Giovatella is struggling or if they're looking for other options at second base, I think Cliff Pennington could kind of slide into that role and kind of get some starts there as well.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting angle. I think the question, Alan, that pretty much everybody wants to know when they think about this team is, who's the guy who's going to come to the plate to Justin Bieber as his walk-up music?
Wow, that is a
personality.
I did not see that one coming. Justin Bieber walk-up music. Now that depends. Is it Justin Bieber like teeny bop music, or is it Justin Bieber when Skrillex got a hold of him and actually started producing good music? Because the Skrillex Justin Bieber, anybody would walk up to, because it's not really him. It's Skrillex producing some great beats for him, and the songs are good. Now, teeny bop Justin Bieber, I think it has to be somebody with a sense of humor. If C.J. Wilson batted, I think he would do it. He'd be the one to do it. But since he doesn't, oh, man. I think I'm going to have to go with Johnny Giovatella. I think he's the kind of guy who would, you know, he doesn't maybe take himself too seriously. He's a good guy. He's got a good sense of humor. I think he would do it maybe to get a few laughs.
Okay. All right. There has to be a guy, right, who would do it. Not that you and I are asking anybody really to do it. But, all right. So other end of that spectrum then, who's the guy who, of course, would be the furthest from doing something like that, but also, you know, who might be the first to be ejected this year?
The first person to get ejected this year? The first player?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be Cole Calhoun. He's as fiery as they come. He's intense, man. He's the one who he played a big part in breaking a cubbyhole in the dugout last year when the offense was struggling in August. One of the things that fans love about him, and his teammates do too, is that he is really emotional. He's always if he's upset, he lets you know. And, I mean, he's got to be the guy. Albert Pujols will show up umpire sometimes too, but he's Albert Pujols and nobody ever throws him out. So he's not getting ejected.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's firmly planted, man. You'd have to have some you'd have some onions to throw him from a game.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up with this one today. Must see MLB.com, the highlight reels every day after the game. Who's that guy who's going to show up, you know, more often than not on as a must see highlight?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Mike Trout, right? I mean, the Angels are probably the ideal must-see candidate plays for the Angels. Mike Trout does something to surprise you almost every night. But I guess that one's too easy. I'm going to say Andrelton Simmons. You know, fans around here, they're used to seeing Mike Trout. You know, you can't really get bored of the things that he does on a day-to-day basis. But they've seen a lot of it. I think fans here are going to be really surprised to see just how good Andrelton Simmons is defensively. And, you know, Eric Ivar is a gold glove shortstop, and he was great with the glove throughout his Angels career. But Andrelton Simmons, and I've said it before in this podcast, he makes plays that you don't think a shortstop would have ever made. He's going to kind of maybe change the definition of what fans consider a shortstop, because he's gonna get to balls that they've never seen a guy get to at that position. I think fans are going to have a lot of fun watching him play that position this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, as always, man, very well done, Alden. And we look forward to doing it again next week.
Hopefully more Beaver questions. That's all I ask.
Yeah. Well, people work Skrillex in there, too. I don't know. We'll find a way. until then, Alden Gonzalez, MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Angels edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.